Good afternoon. Who's on?
Larry's on.
Hey, Larry. How are you?
I'm doing well, sir. Ryan should be with us in just a minute, and Barry's actually at a conference, so just so you know.
Okay.
Okay. And Ryan was away last week on a second honeymoon.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, except he came back and now all his girls are puking at him.
Uh-oh.
So that's part of the reason that he was working from home as opposed to being in the office.
Uh-oh. Where'd they go, Mexico?
No, they went to a resort on one of the islands, and I can't remember the name of it, but it was supposed to be a very exclusive place. So I'll have to have him tell you the name. I don't remember.
Sounds like food poisoning to me.
Well, they got it when they came back. So it was just him and his wife, but since they came back Friday, the kids got his wife sick, and they've been puking all over. So.
Well, that's too bad.
Yep. That is kind of crazy. So, he should be on with us in a minute.
Okay.
Okay.
But what's on your mind?
I've been trying to, and I haven't done a great job at it, but I got about 6 or 7 responses from asking clients what are the 3 things they value most from working with us. It seems to be accessibility, trust, personal services, honesty, and good data. Then I ask them, what can we improve the experience? And nobody really wants to say anything. They kind of like the way things are going. They're comfortable with it. But I haven't really gotten any type of, tangible asset from there or verbiage from there that would allow me to work on something.
Ryan's here.
I don't know if that's good or bad, but it just kind of is what I'm getting around.
One of the things, are there 3 that stand out the most when you ask that question?
Accessibility, trust, and personal service.
Okay.
But, I've had some of these clients so long, and, I said, well, more importantly, what could we do to improve the experience? And, well, kind of happened. I'm like, we're just like a sports team. We're always trying to look to get better. We always want to make sure that the clients have a better experience. I want you to be able to ultimately, as our salespeople, we want to make sure that you have something as tangible as possible to talk to your sister about or brother about.
Oh, good. Okay, nice move.
So that's how I phrased it, but I'm kind of asking for the referral without asking for the referral, if that makes any sense. So, I haven't had anything surprise me or catch me back or actually give me even something to attack. So I know I need to ask more people, which would help those responses, and see if there's anything that we can do better. I'm going to ask people again this week as well. In fact, I'm going to ask everybody this month just to try to get a better handle on it.
Well, I think you get smoother with it too, and that's the part I want you to get comfortable with. Get comfortable with that question, then we can work on the transition.
Okay.
When you get so frustrated asking the question, you go, "No, come on, let's move forward." That's okay. That's when we want to.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
No. Okay.
Thanks. Ryan, where did you go? What was the name of your resort?
Jade Mountain in St. Lucia.
Okay,
have you ever heard
sounds
of that?
Nice. No, uh-uh.
It's,
was it nice?
Yeah. Yeah, it's... it's, like, a top five
Caribbean resort on, like, every list you check. It's way up there. Really, really impressive.
Okay, I'm having trouble hearing you, Ryan. Sorry.
Can you hear me better now?
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, I was just saying it was really impressive. It's like a top five resort on like Condé Nast and Travel and Leisure and like everyone that does the Caribbean resorts, it's way up there.
Nice.
So it's like the rooms are like completely open to the ocean and mountains. There's like only like kind of like three walls. And there's pools in the rooms and stuff. It was like we got upgraded when we got there, like two levels or whatever. So like it was
nice.
Nice. Yeah,
really
butlers
nice.
And there's only 29 rooms on property, and I feel like there's like 200
wow.
people working there. So it was I don't know what I'm
gonna
do to stop this.
What was the name of the place?
It's called Jade Mountain.
Jade Mountain. Okay.
Yeah.
You may have to take the missus there, Ralph.
Yeah, it sounds really nice. I'll look
I'm looking at some pictures now. I just Googled it and looking at images.
Very cool. Well, you clearly didn't have a lot of time to work on our project, but... what's on your mind business-wise, Brian?
Well, I talked to some people about the three questions, if that's the project you're referring to.
Yep.
And very similar to Larry, my answers were very much like accessibility, and they know they can reach me if they need anything. They trust me. They know, you know, I don't try to force them into stuff they don't want to do, you know, like I'm very willing to do kind of, you know, if they don't like a certain product line, I'm not pushing a product line upon them. So I treat them like, you know, like family or whatever. And the only thing I got when I asked if we could do better was, somebody said they had no idea what Christine's role was on the team. Like, they didn't know what they could ask her to do, or like, you know, if there's stuff they could ask her to do instead of asking us and that type of stuff. So that was helpful that, you know, I'm sure there's other people that don't know, you know, what her role is, or they think they have to talk to me when, you know, it's something she could be doing. So maybe, you know, revisiting the team roles and everything would be helpful as well with people.
Good. Good.
Yeah, it's been kind of interesting the last few weeks. You know, like I'm not sure if I told you or not, but that client that never honored our appointment times, you told me like, you know, she would honor her hairdresser's times, but you know, she doesn't respect me. Like I got an email from her basically saying, yeah, like I know I haven't been responsive to you and this, that, and another, and I'm sorry for that, but I'm going to move my accounts to my mom's guy at Schwab that she's worked with for like 15 years. And
wow.
I was like, I wasn't surprised, you know, like, I mean,
right.
Really, cause I haven't been able to build a strong relationship with her, but I was really annoyed. You know, I actually asked her for a chance to do an exit interview, and you know, she agreed. So I'm just gonna kind of talk to her and just kind of, you know, get the lay of it. And maybe this is a fee thing, or maybe it's you know, she felt like she should have had more performance, or you know, like it's never one thing, you know. But it was just aggravating from her. It would be kind of like when somebody, you know, says they don't want to keep working with you, but they're not listening to a goddamn thing you say, and then they say they're not getting the results. You know, it's kind of like probably that experience, or I'm sure you've had that happen, where it's like, oh, well, we're not seeing a difference, and you're in your head, you're like, well, you haven't done shit that I've told you to do, you know, like.
Right. No, that's the control thing. That's, if you don't have control over the client, you can't manage.
Yeah.
And that's where, you know, that's the fill or kill thing. Either we, you know, do a financial plan and I like them, they like me, I trust them, they trust me, I listen to them, they listen to me. If we can't get to that relationship, we gotta take a hard line. I mean, we can't be compromising the client experience and getting our brand, you know, dragged through the mud. Because clients won't listen to us. It's just it's not right. You know, it's just like somebody coming from a Ritz-Carlton experience, you know, well, I spent the whole time in the bathroom, you know, it was a terrible experience. Well, you gotta go in the dining room, buddy. You know, you can't spend the whole time in the bathroom.
Yeah. The way our business is going, if somebody's not going to be engaged with us and have a personal relationship, it's hard for us and for them to justify paying us and you know, going through the process with us if they're not invested, you know, like mentally invested in it. So it's making it to where, you know, the people that are the
making it a commodity.
Customers, right. Yeah. Right. Our industry is becoming commoditized and the people that are customers don't have anything to hold them with us if we're not, you know, doing all those extra steps. Otherwise we're just holding their money and it just comes down to a performance thing. And it's very difficult to consistently, you know.
All right. So I was frustrated by this as well as you, and I've been working on this, and I came up with this kind of a model for how do you create a spreadsheet that's going to be of help and incorporate everything that we're trying to do and move the clients from the left-hand column to the right-hand column, but incorporate our prospecting into that model at the same time. I've talked to people about technology and there's, you know, it's not complicated, but I would say most teams don't have a system for managing their prospecting. It sounds crazy, but you know, in our business, they did when they got started, but they don't now. And I would say 97% don't have anything, which is, think about it, it's shocking. Right? So just to have something is a lot better than nothing. But I think having something that works that you use all the time would be very helpful. So what are you guys using now to manage your prospecting pipeline?
Just a quick handmade Excel spreadsheet kind of thing.
Yeah. Cool. I was going to say just an Excel spreadsheet is pretty much what we're working with.
Now, is it a combined team Excel spreadsheet or do you each have your own?
We each have our own.
Okay. Interesting. All right. Look, let me lay out, if you want me to, what I've come up with. And then what I'd be interested in is you guys critiquing it and either adopting it or modifying it or throw it out. But I mean, I want, I'd like some feedback on it because this is kind of the question I've been asking everybody for a couple of months now, and I've got some good ideas from it. You know, people are doing some interesting things, but I'm getting some, you know, I'm modifying it as we go. And so I have, if you have a piece of paper, it's an Excel spreadsheet, that's all it is. I don't even have it built. course. I just listen to you guys and kind of create the columns. So we have seven columns going from left to right. In each column, we're going to have the day, the what it is, leads. In this case, we're starting with leads. These are just leads. These are just names, right?
Right.
And we're going to put down the lead and the date. Okay, so the name and the date. Now, in order to be a lead, it has to be something we're going to act on in the next 30 days. Or it doesn't stay in the column. Either goes in or and acts on in 30 days or it comes out. Because you could have just a million leads, right? The second column is suspects. And these are people that we actually have identified.
These are columns and not rows you're talking about here.
I'm sorry, still a little tough to hear you.
These are columns and not rows, you're saying.
These are columns, right.
Okay, suspect.
Okay. So here would be the name and the date that they became a suspect. And a suspect is somebody that we've called. Okay? The next column is prospect. And obviously this is a harder, much harder column to get into. A prospect is somebody that we have
They have acknowledged interest.
They have an interest.
And qualified.
They're qualified. And third, they're willing to act within a reasonable amount of time. Okay. Now here we've got
more of a funnel is what you're doing here.
Yep. It's a funnel, correct.
Okay.
Yep. Name, date, and this is the first time we're putting in assets. Because we've determined that they're a prospect, so therefore they're qualified, therefore we know what they have in terms of assets. You'll see a pattern develop here.
Okay.
Okay. And then the next column is customers. And a customer is somebody that's doing business with us. So we have the name, again, the date, and then assets away from us or money coming due, anything that would be not in the account. The next column is client. And this is a financial plan. And we charge a fee. Name, date, and money away. Next client is advocate. And again, same thing, name, date, money. And an advocate is somebody will send you an introduction without you asking. COI. They have to be a client, though. And the next column is ambassadors. Ambassador. And it's name, date, assets, away. And they would have done it within the last year. So these are people that send you introductions that become clients every year. So that's your sales force. So think about it. A person becomes a lead, and they move all the way over to being an ambassador. The ultimate thing would be have all your clients as ambassadors. Now, to me, I think you should have a composite for your team and meet and update the composite every week, every Monday. This can be a big part of your Monday meeting. So think about it. You're not going to put somebody down as a lead unless they're for real. Or a suspect unless they're real, or a prospect unless they're real. But you can do all your customers now. And so, Ryan, this person would have been a customer that you didn't have control over. They might have even been a client, but you still didn't have control. So if they're not a control situation, they're not a client. They still fall in the customer category. Even if you've done a financial plan and you're charging them a fee, control is the key. So this is a great way for you to keep track of money coming due, money away. So it's current business as well as all your future business. So as a composite, you don't have to have you don't have to take a lot of time with this, because your customer list and your client list is going to stay the same, your advocate list, your ambassador list. You know, there's going to be some movement, and obviously the harder you work, the more movement you have.
Yeah, I think for tracking purposes, it would be easier to split this up, and you kind of like have your existing book of business as the customer, client, advocate, ambassador, and then you have your prospecting meeting thing as the first three columns, your lead, suspect, prospect.
Lead, suspect, prospect.
Or, you know, and then have customer line on that one, and then you can kind of connect it to the other page when they come over. But I think you're just going to get too big of a thing that gets unwieldy, and people aren't going to do it.
Well, that might be, you know, that might be tactically your decision based on your experience working with Excel spreadsheets or working with your team. Is that more of an Excel spreadsheet situation, or do you think it's your team?
Probably more the team.
Well, just imagine right now we're not building a spreadsheet. We're building a database. Like we would have we'd have at least 400 line items on this. And we're not going to be able to keep that in our, like, not like we can sit down and review it at our Monday pipeline meeting or anything, 400 people. Like, we can have a master list, but I'm just saying in terms of updating it, like, We're going to have to say when someone goes from customer to client or client to advocate. And it would basically be like a multiple hour meeting once every, what, to cover all our existing clients and see if anyone changed, or.
Well, just think about it for a minute. It seems to me it's a 15 minute meeting. You're only talking about movement.
Okay.
I mean, it's kind of like, think about how reluctant you were to do the idea of having even 12-4-2, and then you said, well, I think we can do the schedule. You know, I think we can do a preparation for the meeting, an inventory of things we're going to cover. And then you did the executive summary, and it all seemed overwhelming when you first thought about it. But when you're putting together your agenda, the only things that change on the agenda are new things, right? You have your old things that are on the agenda. So you might add one or two things to the agenda that you want to talk about that month. So to me, the only thing you really need to worry about here is changes, right? I've added 4 people to my lead list, 1 suspect moved from leads. I've got 4 suspects and I've got 1 new prospect, and I moved 1 customer from a customer to a client, and that's it for me.
Okay.
That's my report. You know what I mean? That's my report. Done. So what I would do would be maybe even color code them or something. Have Ryan the first part of it across, and then add Larry and put him down there and look at his book. So I don't know. I'm not an Excel guy, but it seems to me that if you did your book and then did Larry's book and then did Barry's book, you'd have a pretty good look then at the whole business, and you'd see discrepancies, and it would just spread a beautiful light on the whole thing.
Yeah, I think that's the advantage. You can also see where you should be deploying resources. You know, like some of these clients that we have are, you look at the thing and it says they're a $2.5 million client, but they're worthless to us, you know, or they're minimally valuable to us.
Right, they're a customer.
Right. Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah. What if you had 70% customers? I mean, that would be interesting, right? That's a huge opportunity.
Every thought.
They probably do. Yeah. Or, no, I wouldn't say that. I think we used to, before we called the book some. But I just thinking of my situation, I doubt that most people have more than really 10% ambassadors and
25%. I would say maybe. If you have 2 ambassadors, that's pretty good at this point.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, sometimes it's depressing. Like the other day, I was looking.
It's a starting point, right? It would be brilliant as a starting point. Pretend it's not your practice.
If we were a consultant called in to look at someone else's practice?
Yeah, I guess it would help. You there, Rob? What'd you say to him, Ryan?
Has he dropped the call?
No, I'm here.
Oh,
can you hear me?
Yeah, now we can hear you.
Okay, sorry. So, yeah, get your emotions out of it. That's, this is where you have to go, we called it with Larry, with Jim Lehrer, we called it facing the truth. Before you could make progress in any goal-setting situation, we had to deal with the reality, facing the truth. And it's actually kind of fun, it's, in our case, we had to, take measurements, body fat, strength, exercise. Where are you? Where did you start from? And so, of course, it's depressing for, but at least you know where you're starting from. And then you get your act together and get in a program, and all of a sudden you're making big progress.
Yeah, so something that I found interesting is since I started the Supernova process, I feel like I very quickly got lazy with my call cycle, and I was, doing what I was told to do, which is kind of the idea, like making your calls and doing your folders and having it on the cycle. But I just went, like, before I left town, I went through my list, and I literally feel like I'm missing, like, 15 or 20 people that I'm not calling regularly now because I've gotten so conditioned to just following my calendar, and I realize there's probably people that I've left off for the last 7 or 8 months that I, like, have not been talking to, whereas I would have made myself call them before, and I'm just, because they're not on my list, I'm just, like, going robot and not doing it. Does that make sense at all? Like,
yeah, and that's part of working on that quarterly call cycle as opposed to the monthly call cycle. We did the monthlies first, but it's now trying to get all the quarterlies on and to make them happen.
Yeah, I mean, like, I've got 65 households, and I think I have, like, 40 folders. So, I mean, there's some people where I'm sure that I did not make a folder for because I was planning on transitioning them, but I'm sure that I have a handful of people that I'm, like, I'm missing out on or not talking to regularly or whatever the case is. So
that's a different problem.
Yeah.
That's called not finishing the program.
Well, in my defense, I printed out, you know, a list of everything with Christine, and I thought I went over it, but I may need to revisit that. You know, like, sometimes I'm working on learning to delegate better, you know, like, you know, the radical delegation, but sometimes, you know, I get frustrated when, you know, I'm trying not to micromanage, but I feel like sometimes I end up having to go back and do that.
Well, if it's a learning situation, that's one thing. If it's a neglect situation, it's another. You know, what we don't manage and measure, you know, doesn't get done. That's the problem with life. If you don't care to measure it, then you're not going to get the kind of results you want. Delegation is not abdication. Delegation is giving other person the responsibility, and you spot check them periodically, not to catch them doing things wrong, but to catch them doing things right. So you give them credit for doing the things. Now, if you gave them a schedule of 45 people that were going to be clients in Supernova, and they're all scheduled, and you gave a list of 20 people that are technically, in your mind, butlers, then they should be scheduled with folders just like everybody else. There is no other category. So they go in the scheduler to be quarterly calls, which the scheduler will all automatically do. So there is no, you know, other category of we just don't call these people.
Right.
So, you know, as your coach, I'm a little confused.
No, it was abdication. I handed it off and then didn't think about it. And now I'm kind of coming back and saying to myself, God, I feel like I didn't talk to this person in a long time. And then, like, it turns out I haven't because I don't have a folder for them and stuff. So,
right. So you're not having your Friday. You're not having your Friday 5-star meeting.
Well, no, we weren't. You know, not, that's something that we're trying to do now. Yes. Yes. But in the Friday 5-star meeting, who would have uncovered that? I guess so that would have been the brand management, or.
Yeah, when Christine reported what she's doing to the team, you would have discovered that she was only scheduling 12-4-2s. I don't know. I mean, I guess. I mean, you should have a folder for every client. And they should all rotate. Not, you know, 12-4-2s are every month and the butlers are quarterly. I mean, there is no other position. There is no other slot, you know. People we never call. That was the old days. So anyway, I appreciate you being honest.
Yeah, it's just we need to tighten it up a little bit more where we can't, Ryan.
But I will admit, it's a bit disappointing, Ryan.
I agree.
So, I mean, let's get to the advanced business as fast as we can, okay? And I understand you just came back from vacation, so I don't want to pick on you too much. Let's get past the fundamentals and into the advanced program.
So we're Barry's been working on this, I pray. But we got kind of invited back on that really, really large opportunity we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe we're up against Bessemer Trust and Northern Trust. Maybe Wells Fargo and Bessemer Trust. It's going to be us three that are going for this business. And in terms of pitching against the trust companies, we don't do that very often. I know that they're going to be running a more streamlined fee structure and everything. And I was just curious if you had any insight into pitching on that business.
It's the same one you called me about, and we talked away from the normal call, right?
Right.
Yes. Correct.
Right. And what did I tell you before?
To be ourselves and to go in there and be different, focus on the process that we have in place. But I'm saying particularly versus some of these other companies, it's a different, I don't know, like it's a different way of thinking, I guess, the way they date you stuff.
They suck, okay?
All right.
Don't be intimidated by the names, okay? They'll come in and they'll have three people or four people in their presentation, and they'll talk a lot of jibber-jabber, and they'll make the client very confused, but they won't ever. We do business with Northern Trust. They come down quarterly, and that's it. They do never call us. There's no 1242. There's no magic. The guy used to work for Merrill. There's no magic. Okay, Bessemer Trust will call them less.
The other issue is that they're pretty much cookie cutter in what they can provide as far as the investment services.
Yeah.
They typically use a model.
Northern Trust got in trouble for, if you read in the recent article about them, they were using their own ETFs and piling everybody into their own proprietary ETFs. They got in trouble, so now they're selling those, and I don't know what they're doing all kinds of things, but there's no magic, and their performance is average. I don't know Bessemer Trust that much, but it's just the name. There's nothing magical about their presentations. Their books will look nice. You need to help them develop a policy statement, and you need to help them do financial planning, and you need to emphasize 1242 in terms of implementing everything. And focus on roles and responsibilities of your teammates and how you have a team so that, you know, a team never goes on vacation, a team never goes to lunch. There'll always be someone here all the time. So what do people like about you? Accessibility, trust, treat you like family, and personal service. So That's what you focus on. You've got to be confident. They'll smell it if you're not.
We got the new guy starting with us in a week as well.
Good.
So that's going to be exciting.
He'll love the leads. He'll love the fact that you guys are meeting every week talking about leads, suspect, prospects, and customers, and he can be part of that, and he'll get recognition for bringing in prospects and so forth. He'll feel a part of the team. It'll make him feel great.
That would be our Monday meeting, right?
That's your Monday. This is your Monday meeting. Your Friday meeting is roles and responsibilities in your five-star model, reviewing those, and how are we doing versus our goals. So, clearly, in terms of brand management, is every client getting called? You know, are we consistent with what we're marketing? Are we protecting the brand? When somebody doesn't get called for 7 months and they know 300 people in your community, you're screwed. So in reality, guys, I mean, seriously, I mean, unless they're children of your best clients or they are literally the butler, why do you have those people? If you're not calling them, you don't care about them, why do you have them?
I don't think it's fair to say we don't care about them, but some of the people are definitely not. You know, some of the relationships.
You didn't call them for 7 months, Brian. You don't care, okay? Sorry. You can't say nothing's gone on. We've had the wildest markets in the world. So there's been plenty to talk about. You're damaging your brand. Okay. It is. I mean, look, you're talking to the coach, right? You're giving me information. I appreciate the honesty. But when you tell me stuff like that, I freak out. It's not supernova. It's supernova light.
Yeah.
Which isn't supernova. So, and you know what? That comes across when you're presenting yourselves, when you're being less than yourself, your best self. You've got to gain that pride in ownership of what you do, and that you are the only people that call everybody every month. And twice a year, you see everybody in person. And when you do that, you have pride. And that comes across. So I think this spreadsheet will tell you, will shed some light on your practice, which I think is really important for you guys. So I still think you're struggling with your team and team issues and accountability and roles and responsibilities. So you got to have the Friday meeting, you got to have the Monday meeting, and you got to force it. And if you lay this out, you do it by partner, then it's going to be clear what's going on. And you're going to get better results from each other. You're doing each other a favor by having these two meetings every week. You're saying we care about the team. I I mean, just think, you guys are doing great. Just think how good you could do.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, he's right. It's, we just got to look inward. This stuff isn't rocket science. It's a pain in the butt. It's a process, but we got to drink the Kool-Aid more and more. And yes, we've been doing light work.
Yeah, it's not a joke. I mean, it's not a joke. It's not funny. It's not cool. You got to do it. I mean, it's your business. You know, it's not a hobby. You're not going to school and doing this on the side so you know, finally you're going to end up being doctors or something. This is what you do. You should have pride in it. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, no, I'm just writing all this down. That's why I'm being quiet. I'm not.
No, it's
you're not,
we just
not sulking.
It's good to get a kick in the fanny every once in a while.
Yeah, but I don't want to do it every week.
No, but there's different issues that we have and different things. But yes.
Well, like I said, I appreciate the honesty because I can't help unless you tell me what's really going on.
Yeah, the amazing thing is, like, yeah, our business is actually, you know, doing well. That's the unbelievable thing to me. I feel like everything's shitty, and then, you know, the numbers are holding up, and you know, we've given away stuff, and you know, like, I mean, year to date, we're only off. Well, as a team. You know, revenue-wise, we're only down 3%, and that's coming off a quarter. The you know, first quarter, our fees were, you know, the SP was down 16%, and we're 70% fee-based, you know, or 80% recurring revenue. And like to get through the first quarter, and you know, we were up in April as soon as you know fees got the bounce, and we've been giving away stuff, you know. So like, it's been great that we haven't taken the beating that we thought we were going to take, but that's the reason we have some of these clients is because you know, we haven't wanted to crush our revenue. And unfortunately, our firm says they want us to do Supernova, but they also want us to, you know, grow the assets and grow the revenues and everything too. You know, like it's kind of hard. Like we can't just blow it up and knock 25% off our revenues and rebuild. I mean, we could, but you know, our compensation structure punishes us mightily for that. So that's part of what's held us back a little bit more. You know, it's serving two masters.
They want the same thing. They're going to measure the transition.
Right.
That's the difference.
The transition?
And, they're going to measure the transition. And I don't care about the transition.
Right. Rob would take your tennis stroke and rebuild it from the ground up to get you to do it right. And he doesn't care if you'd lose, you know, your next 15 matches, but your buddies in your tennis league would be pissed if you dropped every set for the next 4 months. To come back better, you know, like that's the debate, you know, like we're constantly trying to, you know, the firm keeps moving those hurdles up on us to get our payouts, and the numbers are real, you know, like by doing what we're doing,
I understand. Yeah,
we're already, you know, and I know it's easy for you to say, like, because you see the full result, but you know, it's hard, you know, losing $1,000 a month or $2,000 a month or whatever. Like we notice it. So we're trying.
Yep. Well,
yeah.
We need to.
And I've already.
Yeah.
I got 19 names or 19 households that are going to go over to Tim once he comes over, new Tim.
Good. You should have 50. and Barry and I should each have 20. You know, like it's.
Yeah.
Okay, so build this and then send it to me. You don't. I mean, you know, you can however you want to send it to me. I'd love to see it. You know, force yourself to have some accountability on it. You've got a couple of weeks. Work on it. Do it. I think this is a really good idea, okay? A lot of what I talk about are soft things. This is concrete. This will give you real names, real numbers, real assets, real everything.
Everything you say is a good idea. And when I read the book, I read my book and I nod my head the whole time. The hard part is getting your ass to do it or to overcome the mental blocks you put in place or the, you know, the self-defeating behaviors, you know, like that's like, we're not at a, you know, we're buying in, we fully believe everything you say will work. And we have all the tools sitting here. And now the question is how do we get us to pick up our left foot and put it in front of us and then pick up our right foot? And, you know, that's what we're struggling with. It's almost more of a, you know, psychological behavioral issue as opposed to, you know, we believe in what you're saying, you know, and it's now walking the walk or, you know, whatever it is. You know, you go to church, you say yes, 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 and then, like, Saturday night, you find yourself drunk at a party, you know, like, hold on, how did that happen? You know, like, that's what we're going through right here. It's a behavioral thing. It's not an us sticking our nose up at you saying we don't believe this works. We believe it works. We're just not smart enough right now to figure out how to get ourselves to do it. Like, that's the big challenge for our team. Would you agree, Larry?
Yeah, but it's still got to be one step at a time. You have to do what small steps are better than no steps, but we need to keep forcing ourselves to do more. Yes, I would agree with you.
Well, to me, you know, I think this is fun. I'm sorry, but I think this spreadsheet would be fun. I'd love to see what I actually had and see it in writing instead of guessing. You know, I think it would be very cool. I mean, you might be very surprised. It might be better than you think. If it's not, then at least you know where you are. And you're not, you know, blowing smoke up your ass.
Yeah, no. So, if you do it, it'll be great. It'll tell you how long it takes you to convert a client from each step, and you'll actually, you know, be able to get conversion percentages and, you know.
Right. It'd be cool. Think about it, right? Well, anyway, I've got some guys that are going to do this, and, you know, they love it, and they're excited, and they're going to improve their closure rates, and that's what we're talking about. How do you improve your closure rate and getting better leads, better introductions, et cetera. So that's what I want to talk to you guys about. I mean, I want you on board here because you can do this. You're good at it. Just a matter of doing it. I understand it's hard. I mean, you know, it's you got to take the time. You got to just literally sit down and do it. And, you know, but, you know, somebody on the team likes doing this stuff or, you know, I would think. Anyway, that's it for today, guys. Go to work.
Right.
Welcome home from your second honeymoon. Time to go to work. Enjoy it. Make it fun.
Okay. Thanks.
All right.
All right. Talk to you later. Thank you.
See you later. Bye, guys.